welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely blessed day today. We're busy as always down here at Health Masters, and again, we will continue to keep supplying you with the highest quality supplements as long as we physically can. We have another batch of the vitamin C with antioxidants coming in today, so that's going to help out a lot. I know a lot of people have been calling up trying to get stuff, and again, we're just going to keep doing what we have to do down here. And another thing that one of my reps talked to me about today, and this is something I just wanted to kind of throw out there. If people especially are being sedentary or they're not exercising as much as they normally are because they really can't go to the gym, can you put on mute, bud? I'm getting a bunch of feedback. If they're not exercising as much as they can, they really need to make sure they're taking adequate supplementation to maintain muscle mass. And the Muscle Blast formula is something that we put together a while back with a full branch chain amino acid formula. And it's really designed. There's even a clinical trials that we have posted on the website with that product that show that it helps to retain and maintain muscle mass even during sedentary issues. They basically tested it on patients that were in the hospital and so forth. So just wanted to throw that out there. It's not going to be something that's a super effective product for the immune system, but if you're already having a good immune system and you're already taking your C and D and you're wanting to try to maintain muscle mass, especially if you're not being able to exercise as much or you have people that are more sedentary or older, the Muscle Blast is definitely a great option. Other than that, Dad, how are you doing this morning?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. In fact, I had Mancal Mueller send me a show about tourism, actually a song about tourism. And, you know, it's kind of sad because, you know, I kind of looked at it for a minute this morning and I started thinking about how the way we are in the United States has been pretty much changed forever. I mean, as hard as it is to believe it, as much as we don't want it to be that way, you know, a lot of stuff has happened in the last few weeks, last few months. And, you know, I wrote this morning. I said, I guess tourism and the old way of life is done. And I said, you know what's sad is that we were totally spoiled in the USA, and we the people took it for granted. We did everything we had to do to destroy our way of life. And it's a sad epitaph. It could be put on the tombstone of the United States that we did everything that we had to do to destroy the way of life. Closing businesses and hyperinflating the currency and trillion-dollar spending bills have allowed the international bankers to finally put the nail in the coffin of the apathy and of the political correctness that has been run amok in the United States for generations due to the Frankfurt School teaching, which the international bankers brought to us. And guys, the sad part about all of this is, you know, you kind of sit back, and I got kind of introspective this morning, and I started realizing, you know, we have all of this information about what's happening, and we're doing everything we can on the Ted and Austin Brewer Show to send it out and to tell you guys what's happening. But, you know, it's crazy to me how so many people still believe that Donald Trump is more than a figurehead. And I'm talking really well-educated people. And, you know, it's so funny. I said this out to one of my listeners today, one of our customers and a friend I've known for many years. And she said, however, Trump may succeed in bringing down the Feds, Federal Reserve, and bringing the USA into creating its own currency. Because I think what that relief bill is aiming at. And the sad part about it is that people have become so deceived because of the misinformation that's going out there, they really don't want to know the truth. And I sent her back, I said, I no longer have any faith in Trump, none. I said, he's Rothschild-controlled cutout. But, you know, we can always have hope. And then she says, I don't agree with you, but hope in which you are right. And I said, I could send you all of the supporting documentation to prove to you who Trump is and what he's doing. But quite frankly, you're better off not knowing. I said, it's a sad indictment of the times. She goes, well, I've seen some of the information, but I don't trust it. And then I told her, I said, excuse me, I said, I have real information, but does it really matter? At this point, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. Through him, we have the victory. Everything else at this point is futile. Now, what did I mean by that? Did I mean that we can't resist? Absolutely not. We must always resist. We must always be willing to tell people the truth and tell the people the truth about Jesus Christ. We have to be. We have to be the people that basically a light on a hill that shine. They said don't put your light under a rock. Basically, let your light so shine before men that they'll know your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. Guys, right now we're having almost a great awakening in the United States, a great awakening in the world. And this happens whenever you have extreme, how should I say, conflict or extreme stress. What happens, this happened after World War II. After the Americans had seen the futility of war and what had happened in World War II with millions and millions upon millions dead, you know, they started asking themselves a question. You know, why are we here, and why in the world has this happened to the United States, and why in the world have we all gone through all of this? And, you know, and we all have to ask ourselves that. What's the higher calling of people on this planet? Why are we here? And I think that this is going to really bring a lot of people to an understanding of the fact that, you know, we don't have to live like this. We don't have to be part of this. We can get past all of this stuff. We can have a great awakening in the United States. In fact, WSJ opinion piece said, is the coronavirus a great awakening? It said, could a plague of biblical proportions be America's best hope for religious revival? As the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II approaches, there's a reason to think so. 3/4 of a century has dimmed the memory that the gruesome conflict and terrible consequences of tens of millions killed, great cities bombed to rubble, Europe and Asia stricken by hunger and poverty. Those who survived the war had to grapple with the kinds of profound questions that only arise in the aftermath of calamity. Gazing at the ruins from his window at Cambridge University, British historian Herbert Butterfield chose to make sense of it, turning to the Bible. The power of the Old Testament teaching on history, perhaps the point at which the ancient Jews were the most original, breaking away from the religious thought of other peoples around them, lay precisely in the region of truce which sprang from the reflection on catastrophe and cataclysm, Butterfield wrote in Christianity and History. It is almost impossible to appreciate the higher developments in the historical reflection of the Bible except in another age which had experienced or found itself confronted with colossal catechism. America's chastened by the horrors of war, turned to faith in search of truth and meaning. In the late 1940s, the Gallup survey showed more than 3/4 of Americans were members of a house of worship, compared to less than half today. Congress added the words "under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance in 1954. Some would later call this a third Great Awakening. Today, the world faces another moment of cataclysm, though less devastating than World War II. The pandemic has remade everyday life and wrecked the global economy in a way that feels apocalyptic. Now, guys, here's the thing that I wanted to make the point of all this morning. You know, at this point, as a Christian, we have to be glorifying God. Because I tell you guys, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. You know, I commit my plans unto the Lord, they will succeed. My footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Guys, when we have faith in times of calamity and the world sees that, and we have a positive attitude about our lives, the world that has no hope without Jesus is drawn to us as Christians because we have the answers that they're so desperately searching for. Guys, let your light so shine before men. Realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Guys, listen to me. This too shall pass. You know, my mom came to the United States after being in Germany to the entire rise and fall of the Third Reich. She was born there in 1916. She came to the United States in 1952 after she had seen Germany turn to rubble and probably 80% of our family killed. And she was just absolutely overwhelmed with the ability that she had in America to have freedom of speech and to have freedom to walk around and not be under the boot of the Gestapo and the SS, and that she had the right to speak her mind freely. It was amazing to her. And we've been that light on a hill for so many countries, for so many decades, for so many hundreds of years now. But guys, we have to maintain that. We can't allow this international banking cartel to do what they've done. This international group of cabalists that basically now are taking over the entire financial infrastructure and the businesses in the world. Yesterday, I talked to Austin. We were sitting on the back porch, and I said to him, I said, you know, son, it seems as though this virus thing that they're doing as far as shutting all these businesses down is worse than the virus itself. because it's going to lead to helplessness and hopelessness and people not paying their rent, not paying their mortgage, and not being able to feed their families. I said more people will eventually indirectly die from what they're doing through what will happen to the economy through starvation, et cetera, than what they're doing to control the virus.
Yep.
So in this case, the cure is actually worse than the disease, which, sure, it may kill 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 1,000. I don't know. The flu could kill up to 60,000 people in the United States in one given year. I mean, it could be the same thing as the flu, maybe twice, maybe three times as bad. But we don't have to shut down the economic engine of the United States and the productivity of the American people in order to stop a virus that was man-made and put upon us by our boys out of the Mossad, the CIA, MI6. I mean, this thing is a complete and total global bioweapon that's been directed directly at us now, at the United States of America and the cities and the countries in Europe, in order to shut down economic productivity, to allow the international banking cartel to completely obfuscate what they've done and the hyperinflation that they've caused and the massive amounts of funny money they've printed. Guys, we've had a debt-fueled growth in this country that was done on speculators and on derivatives that wasn't normal. It shouldn't have grown the way that it did. It shouldn't have had the ability to basically do 40-to-1 money lending. It shouldn't have done this. It should have been built off of sound financial principles. I mean, we don't have to have 5 cars in a family or 4 cars in a family or 3 cars in a family. I mean, I remember years ago, back in when 87 hit and everything collapsed around us, we went down to one vehicle, and we were perfectly fine. And I thought to myself, you know, it's no big deal to have one car. You just have to kind of work around it and try to make your best out of it. But now we have 2 or 3 kids, and we have all of their sports events, and mommy turns into a doggone taxi driver, and all she does is drive around to their 4 or 5 different sports they're involved in 4 or 5 different times a week. All she does is run a taxi service working and basically trying to maintain the lifestyles of these children, which they never earned because they were born into your family. They got it. And see, this is the thing that we have to understand. This is just maybe. You know, we got to cut back on cable TV, just maybe. And you know, how many of you guys are saying, I need to lose weight, I've got to do this, I've got to do that? You've been fighting for years to lose that last 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. You know, it's a good time to do it. You know, food's gotten expensive. Food's gotten scarce in some areas. Some of the stores are selling out of stuff. Maybe use this as a time to say, oh, look, by the way, I need to drop some weight. We're good. The average person in Venezuela, I think, has dropped 20 or 30 pounds now with what's happened down there. You say, well, that's kind of a crazy attitude, Ted. Well, no, it's an attitude we all need to take. Maybe we don't need to have all the stuff that we've had. Maybe we don't need to live on credit cards and on debt. Maybe we just need to live within our means. Maybe we need to budget ourselves to a point where we know that we can maintain our lifestyle for 6 months to a year if we do lose our jobs. Maybe we need to take a look at this. Maybe we need to realize that we need to be back in church with our families. Maybe we need to have a great awakening and understand that, hey, look, we need to hold our preachers accountable for what they're teaching us on Sunday morning if they haven't taught us how to be patriots. If they've told us that homosexual lifestyles are okay. If they've told us that basically, you know, doing all kinds of sin in your life is okay. If they allow anybody to come to church without repentance or trying to teach people the Word of God from what the Bible says, maybe we need to understand that these are not the leaders that we needed. Maybe we need to take a look at going to a different church. Just maybe. Maybe we don't need to have a church that has 15 different campuses with 50,000 different members in 3 different states with a pastor flying around in private jets and putting himself on a screen. Maybe that's not what God called us to do. I don't know. Maybe all of these things need to be reevaluated and taken a look at. Maybe we need to be meeting in our homes and teaching the truth about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. Maybe that's what we need to do. Well, that's what I think we probably need to do. Austin, what do you think, buddy? What's your first story?
Well, one thing about it, and what you said was so succinct, is that, I mean, the issue is the market and all these, this financing and credit problem that we have didn't happen overnight. It's exactly what you just said. They've made the lending easier. They pushed the finances out. They did the speculation. They ran the derivatives, and they knew what was going to happen. You guys understand that the bankers don't operate like on a 2-year and 5-year plan. They operate on 20 and 40 and 50 and 100-year plans. When the Federal Reserve was enacted in 1913, I promise you, if you look at the literature and you research that entire context of what happened and then putting that together on Jekyll Island, that was not something they just said, oh, you know, let's just throw a Fed bank together, right? Let's kind of throw Federal Reserve Bank. We'll control the money, and, you know, we'll kind of see what happens. You know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Guys, no. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew exactly what they are doing now. Something that I found very, very troubling that I just read earlier And I've been trying to see parts of it and get snippets of this insane, was it this 2,000-page stimulus bill that passed. It doesn't, I'm still trying to wrap my head around $2.2 trillion, and the American populace is getting like $300 billion of it, split 330 million ways. I'm still trying to understand that. But one thing that we found apparently now is that in the stimulus plan, Pelosi made sure that they included a $25 million raise for congressional members. Kid you not. They said it's roughly going to be $39,000 per congressional member per year raise in that stimulus bill. They gave themselves almost a $40,000 a year raise, guys. A lot of people don't even make that per year, and they just gave themselves a raise. But the American average everyday person basically sold their license. They sold their rights for a $1,200 stimulus check now. Pretty much it. And then we pretty much sold ourselves down this entire river. And it's sad to me now. And I saw a meme the other day that was so funny, just for an aspect of, I think a lot of people are starting to wake up on how we've been lied to and distracted by so much of these sports arenas and these complexes. It says, now that we know who the essential workers are, essentially, you know, public, supermarkets, stuff like that, explain to me why professional athletes make so much more money if they are essentially, basically, and utterly useless when it actually comes down to making a difference and helping the situation. And I kind of looked at it, and it just kind of made me ponder for a second. And, you know, you hear about these guys, oh, yeah, he's got this $30 million a year contract. He signed a, you know, $100 million a year contract for 5 years and all this stuff to basically play in a sports arena so the NFL can continually barrage you with just complete and total propaganda and rhetoric and get people to watch the halftime pornographic video show and indoctrinate their children in the perverted lifestyle and put these unbelievably hedonistic commercials up on television. And these guys pay it. They make all this money, and then when it actually comes down to what's going on, I mean, you see these nurses, these doctors. I mean, these guys are worked to the max right now. I mean, some of the stuff I've been watching, I mean, these guys are just, I mean, they're pulling double shifts like almost every other day now. I mean, they're doing the best they can to fight this. And at the same time, you have the government who's telling everybody, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. Now in Virginia, I don't know if you guys saw this. This was Wednesday. The great dictator, I guess you could call him, Emperor Governor Ralph Northam, the same governor that said, oh yeah, by the way, when we do full-term abortions, if the baby doesn't get executed during the abortion and it comes out and it's still alive, we'll basically put the baby on the table and let the mother decide what she wants to do as we make the baby comfortable and we basically decide whether or not we're going to do an execution. And I'm paraphrasing that, but that's exactly what he meant. Now he's come out with an executive order, guys, from the governor of Virginia that is stopping anybody from having 10 people or more congregate. It is now a crime if you have more than 10 people together in one place. Effective at 11:59 p.m. Tuesday, March 25th, all public and private in-person gatherings of 10 or more individuals are prohibited by law and shall be a Class 1 misdemeanor pursuant to the 44146 Code of Virginia. Violation of therefore shall be punishable as a Class 1 misdemeanor in every case where the executive order declares that this violation has taken effect. It means that you can be jailed up to 12 months and fined $2,500, either or both. Now think about this for a second. Just think about this with me. Restaurants are closed, or if they're not closed, they're doing takeout only. Bars are closed. Majority of stores are closed. Pretty much anything that's operable or large is closed. Now, what's the only thing you can think about right now that people still have the ability to freely do and congregate with more than 10 people? Oh, that's right. That would be a Bible study. Or that would be a small church service. Or that would be an outdoor church service. Oh, that's right. Governor Northam just effectively made it illegal in the state of Virginia for more than 10 people to congregate with one another and have a Bible study. Oh, and you know what that also goes into? That also means if more than a 10-man fire team or militia goes together to make sure they can protect the community, and law enforcement and National Guard in Virginia basically finds more than 10 people congregating together, they're going to try to arrest everybody. I kid you not, this bill is so far beyond tyrannical. And then you'll go, wait, Austin. You know, people need to be social distancing. They don't need to be intermingling together. They need to be making sure they're staying away. They're not going and making sure they're infecting other people. Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Then why haven't we shut down the 190 domestic flights coming from New York to Florida every single day, still currently to this day? And even I think a day or two ago I just read that they busted 5 people on an airplane coming to Florida from New York that tested positive for coronavirus because they were sweating with a fever when they were getting on the plane. Oh, that's okay, though, because, guys, you know, they need to be able to get out of New York if they want to, but better not gather more than 10 people in the state of Virginia where everybody's healthy trying to have a Bible study and make sure the militia's prepared if they start having civil unrest and need to protect their neighborhoods. That's illegal. You can't do that. It brings me back to what David Icke said so succinctly the other day in that interview. I've told you guys again, I don't agree with everything David Icke said, but he did an interview over in UK right now, and it was so clear because he said, we're being told by the government that they're here to protect us. They're telling us we can't be around one another for our protection. They're telling us the National Guard's here for our protection. They're telling us they're stripping us of our due process rights for our protection. They're telling us they're making sure they have a vaccine put together for our protection. But at the same time, they haven't stopped or prevented any of these toxic pesticides or herbicides from being used on the market. They still haven't stopped high fructose corn syrup and food coloring and hydrogenated oil and MSG and sucralose from being readily used in the bulk remainder of just general populace foods. Oh, and that's right. They've also said now that Coca-Cola and other companies are essential workers. I talked to a friend about that earlier, and I'm not picking on Coca-Cola workers, but he said basically he's got a son and he works for Coca-Cola. They've all been given badges, letters, forms, everything that they're essential employees, and people say, oh, you know, well, they can bottle water. Absolutely, they can bottle water, they can distribute water. Except, I haven't heard one press conference or one release from Coca-Cola that they're shifting over their soda production over to full-blown water production right now so they can give it to areas and make sure people have adequate fluids. Haven't heard that at all, nor have I heard a mandate from that. They're still doing Coca-Cola soda operations at full tilt just like they always do. Oh, why is that? Oh, because maybe it happens to be that EBT purchases, the number one EBT purchase still currently in the United States, is soda. Oh, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about how high fructose corn syrup and sugar in general massively lowers white blood cell count, completely inhibits the immune system from being able to do what it does by suppressing it, and makes you much more susceptible to contracting a virus. They haven't talked about that one time on national television with Coca-Cola or soda in general. They haven't even said anything about actually increasing your immune system with supplements. Not a whimper, not a word. But yet you want to have the tyrannical governor in Virginia now say that if more than 10 people gather together for a meeting, they are going to be charged with a class 1 misdemeanor. This is almost like living in the twilight zone now, guys, of what we're starting to see here on how the government continually is contradicting exactly what they tell us. They say one thing and then they talk out of the other side of their mouth. Even in the UK now, the police force in the entire UK, United Kingdom, is now creating a tool to let people snitch on one another for not social distancing. I kid you not. The police have created an online portal that allows people to alert them to violations of lockdown measures introduced by the government, further protection, out of that, to fight the spread of coronavirus. They said the force says the portal has been made in response to an increased number of calls to its emergency number following the government's announced early this week of new police power to disperse any groups. According to the rules, people are not allowed to congregate in groups of more than two people, unless it's a family in the same household. They said we will not be able to deploy officers to every single report. So now we have created an online portal so people can basically call in and put it online in their online portal that they see more than two people congregating with one another. I don't even know anything that you can do much more tyrannical than this that does not get actually as bad or worse than the Gestapo, SS, in Nazi Germany. I don't even know if the Gestapo got this tyrannical, guys. I wasn't there in Germany, but I don't even remember hearing reports of people getting arrested or getting the cops called on them for more than two people gathering together. I don't even know what to say right now, Dad. And I talked to a friend of mine who's down in Sarasota yesterday, and he said him and his girlfriend basically live in an apartment complex, and they've, you know, said in Sarasota everybody needs to stay at home and so forth, so they basically said people don't need to be going out to this big giant pool, this apartment complex, nice apartment complex. Well, they've been in their apartment for like 3 or 4 days now working from home. So him and his girlfriend went out to the pool. It was still unlocked, ironically, but they said it was closed, and this was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight, sun beating down in the state of Florida, chlorine's in the pool, so you got chlorine and sun, one of the two most effective things that go in and pretty much kill viruses, so to speak. And so then they go in, and the manager came out there, got gloves on, got goggles on, and said, "You're not allowed to be out of the pool." And they said, "Dude, we pay a lot of money to stay here. If we're not going to come to the pool now, we can't use the pool. We want a discounted rate in our apartment. That's only fair." "No, you can't do that. This is the mandate. You can't go to the pool." And they said, "Okay, we're going to go back to our apartment, but we're basically going to file a formal complaint now because this is ridiculous." Well, sure enough, they went back to their apartment. The apartment manager called the cops on them. They had the sheriff's department knocking on their door 30 minutes later that basically said they're failing to comply with the command of the state or city, or excuse me, the city of Sarasota. And basically, law officers told them they are not allowed to do anything that the apartment has mandated they're not allowed to do because it is technically private property. And they said, "If we come back, we're basically going to have to cite you for failing to comply with the lawful command of a police officer now that we've given you this warning in writing now." Gave them a warning for using their own pool at their own apartment that they pay like $2,000 a month for. This is not a joke anymore, guys, and I'm not talking about the virus. This virus thing, if everybody keeps their immune system strong and everybody makes sure they use wisdom and common sense with sanitary guidelines, this virus is going to burn through and burn out. But I'm so concerned, like Dad said now, that the United States is never going to be what it ever was. We are going to reach a point now where so many people are going to be so used to being locked down, so complacent, so passive, so just lackadaisical in our constitutional rights that we're sitting back and we're allowing governors to institute executive orders that more than 10 people can't congregate by force of law enforcement, that we're having liquor stores and gun stores and everything shut down in California now. We've now had the individuals out in California say that if you essentially are a non-essential business in the state of California and you don't comply with shutting down your business, we're now going to cut the water and electric off to your business. Now, I don't know exactly what businesses he was referring to, but he pretty much made it clear that if you didn't comply with what he told you, the sheriff, they're going to shut you down. They're basically going to burn you out of your house. They're going to starve you out, and they're going to dehydrate you out, and they're going to shut you down with power, and you're going to be forced to shut your business down. I don't even know what to say much anymore, bud. This thing has grown from a virus that is definitely something that needs to be taken seriously and people need to use precaution to a full-blown global lockdown by an unseen hand over an unseen enemy that nobody is even resisting anymore for the most part. I know a lot of patriots and so forth are definitely starting to get ready, so to speak, because as we can see, apparently, from what I'm seeing here, guys, this isn't going to slow down. I'm not talking about the virus either. I'm talking about the fact that they're going to keep trying to push totalitarian rule after rule after rule on us to see how far we're going to take it. And again, I said, we're being told this is all for our protection, but yet we still have roughly 2,000 to 3,000 New Yorkers land in Florida every day minimum right now that are about to disperse the coronavirus like an atomic bomb on Florida, because all these individuals, majority of them, have been exposed to it now, and they're carrying it for 2 to 3 weeks with no symptoms. What happens when they get down to Florida? They're being told they need to shelter in place. There's no force on that. They're not being told. It's ironic. I saw the other day that like almost half the cases in Florida now, like 600 or 700 cases in Florida now, are all from out-of-state people. They're not even Florida residents. They're coming down here to escape their crappy state that they've ruined because they didn't want to take precautions and they wanted to live up in their great state, and now they want to come down here and ruin our state, and nobody's even saying anything about it except you're forced to build, basically board up in your home by rule of force in some areas now, and nobody even is questioning the narrative in some cases, Dad.
You know what's crazy about it, Austin, with this 10-limit rule with Governor Northam out of Virginia, is that mean he's going to stop all airplanes with more than 10 people on them?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm asking this question. Why are they not included in this? Are they exempt? You know, you got Virginia Beach. You got planes going in and out of Virginia Beach all day long that are full of people. You got people that are flying all over the place in Virginia and all the different airports. They've got more than 10 people on the aircraft. Are they all going to be arrested now? Are they going to be charged with misdemeanors because they're on an airplane? More than 10 people? I mean, where do you draw this slippery line? I mean, how does that work? I mean, where do you go from there? I mean, what do you say? I mean, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, you know, Teton National Park, Yellowstone National Park have all been closed because people were escaping the cities and going there for the weekends and camping out even in miserable weather, you know, because it's cold, or just going out there for the day to lay in the sun and hike. And now they've been closed because they said the people are going outside. We can't have them outside. They can't be walking around and hiking in God's kingdom and his world. No, it's because, it's a totalitarian mindset. And like you said, this isn't going to stop. And now they've got they're trying to figure out where it'll go. See, 70, 80 years ago, when they decided to throw the fluoride in the water, they knew what they were doing. You know, 70, 80 years ago, when the Frankfurt School, 80 years ago, almost 90 years ago now, when the Frankfurt School came over here to the United States and started pushing this social doctrine, this political correctness, let's destroy nationalism. See what happened right after the war when all those people started going to church? You know, the Frankfurt School kind of went nuts. And they said, this isn't possible. We'll never take over the United States if they have a strong core value system. They're never going to capitulate. They have love of God and love of country and love of family. We can't break this down. We have to do it internally. We've got to do it subversively. It's like Kennedy said in that quote last night, these guys operate by covert means. I read you that little speech you did with the newspaper association yesterday, that they go in behind the scenes, you know, the guerrilla by day, not by night, not armies by day. They go in and they subvert the culture. This is what the Kabbalah, you know, they teach them to do this. This is the satanic way. And again, the internet has been their basically downfall. It's been their double-edged sword, the sword to enslave us, to make half the country addicted to pornography, the sword to basically put all their negative weirdo fake news out, but also the sword of the new Gutenberg press of the patriots that have podcasts like the Ted and Austin Brewer Show that are telling you the truth about who's doing this and putting a big floodlight in their face saying, hey, I see you now. God, you sure are ugly. Oh, man, no wonder you hide in the darkness. You sure are ugly. The sin in your life and the hideousness of your relationship with Lucifer has distorted your facial features. I mean, what happened to you? Well, there you go. And now we're pointing them out, and people are going, oh, wow, you know, you guys are telling the truth. Well, yeah, we've been telling the truth. We've been telling you guys the truth for years on this show about who runs this planet. I've done entire exposés on the Kabbalah. I took an entire show one time and went through the Kabbalah and what they believe. Broke it down for you guys in detail. You can go back in the archives, you can look at it. I've talked to you about the interdimensional entities that rule the planet. We've talked about that on numerous shows. I've talked to you about the blood of Jesus that sanctifies you and changes everything from an interdimensional frequency standpoint and restores you back to the frequency of God Almighty when you become a Christian, you accept Jesus. We've covered all that stuff on the show. And guys, they're listening, and they don't want you guys being awake. They don't want you to know the truth, because they know the truth. Well, guess what? It'll set you free. It's like modern medicine. Modern medicine is abysmal. It's like Austin just said a few minutes ago. They're not teaching us how to strengthen our immune systems to avoid the virus. They're teaching us basically how to take drugs and how to hope that the medical associations can save us after we come down with coronavirus. Well, here's an interesting article that just came out. It says, this is why modern medicine has a problem with natural cures. Well, there is the money, of course. When millions of people forego expensive and toxic medical drugs, when they rarely see conventional doctors, when they don't receive vaccinations, they don't have their children vaccinated, and when they opt out for natural when they opt for natural remedies, when worst of all, they stay healthy. Now, this is a hammer, a blow hammer to the drug-based medicine. These natural health people are also going against the plan, which is the cradle-to-grave system, whereby humans are diagnosed with 30 to 40 diseases and disorders during their lifetime, requiring large amounts of toxic and debilitating drugs, and then they die. Note, the effect of the drugs are labeled diseases, which in turn are treated with more harmful drugs, resulting in a new diagnosis of diseases, and so on. It's a self-eating, self-replicating parade of destruction. As you can see, the final stages of the nursing homes, where the elderly are warehoused. On their night tables are a dozen or so drugs, the tragic endgame. This pathetic, vicious, pseudoscientific medical assault is praised to the skies as the best in human care. On televisions, hired hands parade through show after show, insisting that modern medicine is the most brilliant program ever devised for the human race, all based on the Rockefeller-Rothschild medical complex. At the same time, until millions of people offer natural health, exposed by their choices, this titanic lie. Here's how medical propaganda works. In the big picture, when delivered by competent, caring personnel, acute crisis emergency care can produce remarkable crises and results, like if you're in an automobile accident or if you've broken a bone, or even if you've had a stroke. People who have been damaged in accidents or developed life-suddenly situations, you know, unconnected to medical drugs, can be put back together again. However, propaganda then parlayed this specific success by pretending it applies over the whole field of medical practice in every aspect. This assertion is absurd, false, and highly dangerous. The case of a person who is lying on the road after a car crash and a person who is suffering from chronic immune system weakness are as far apart from each other as an ant in Idaho and a rocket on the moon. The propagandist's job is to make these two people the same. They both need medical care, and medical care is wonderful. The big lie. But more and more people are waking up to the Rothschild, Rockefeller, Sabbatean Kabbalah's Luciferian drug-fueled medical system that we have in the United States today that's designed to give you more and more drugs from cradle to grave. And this is something that we all need to be aware of, that if we don't pay attention to where we are, I mean, think about it for a second. You know, we have everybody now being told they can't use the swimming pools in their apartment complexes, apparently here in Florida, or at least in Sarasota. We're being told you can't go outside in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park and get fresh air. You've got to stay huddled in your house. Again, it all started with that great lie with fluoride, didn't it? And the Frankfurt School, and how the government is God. And people say, well, Donald Trump's going to save us. Guys, I got a newsflash for you. Donald Trump's a figurehead. He's like the Queen of England. He basically is put there as just a window dressing. And Congress makes the laws. Congress has the purse strings. Look at Nancy Pelosi and their giant raise down to congressional people. Look at all that. We didn't vote on that. You know, they give us $1,200. They give themselves almost $40,000. And guess what? Our $1,200 is a one-time shot. Their $40,000 is from now on for eternity. Amen. And you think through and you go, why are they doing that? Well, because they can. Because we've allowed them to do it through special interest groups, through lobbying, and not having term limits. The thing we have to do, number one, if we're going to get this country back, and the problem is how are you going to pass term limits when the guys don't want to have term limits? There you go. There's your problem. How are you going to stop from passing raises when they can pass raises without asking us? We're going to have to figure out how to do this. We need to set up term limits. You know, 4 years in Congress, 1 year in the Senate, one term in the Senate, that's enough. That's enough. And then and get the lobbying money stopped so it becomes a federal offense and a felony for lobbyists to lobby Congress and to keep this stuff going like this and have special interest in corporations run the world. Guys, it's all got to stop. Dual citizens from other countries, regardless of what country it is, I don't care if it's German, French, Italian, Israeli, Russian, Chinese, whatever, it should be illegal. Totally and completely illegal. Why do the interests of another country supersede the interests of the United States by elected officials? Think about that for a moment. And when we do all of these things and we realize that our health is our best asset and we're giving it to us at birth, in most cases, as standard equipment. I mean, think about it for a second. Now, in New York, they're saying when a person gets serious and they're on a ventilator with coronavirus, we give them intravenous vitamin C. And it really helps. We're doing like two or three times a day, like 1,200 milligrams at a time, intravenously. It's amazing what's happening. Wait a minute. Maybe if they were taking the vitamin C before they ever came down with coronavirus, they never would have contracted the coronavirus. Just a news thought. It's kind of like this. Person has a problem with adult onset diabetes because they're living on high fructose corn syrup and sodas. And all of a sudden, they decide to change their diet. And they go on a healthy blood sugar protocol. like we have at Health Master. So they start changing their diet and starting to take supplements, and all of a sudden, suddenly they're no longer diabetic. And they feel great, and they lose weight, and their energy comes back, and their fatty liver goes away, and all these different things happen. Well, what do you think would have happened had they been on that diet to start with, and taken those supplements to start with, and eaten the right way to start with? They never would have been diagnosed with adult onset diabetes. If it cures the end result, doesn't it make sense that you've been on the start with, you never would have ended up with the end result? See, and this is the thing that people need to understand. Lifestyle choices are absolutely critical. All the days of your life, many of the patriots now are looking down at their, you know, their 40, 50-inch waistline going, wow, I really can't hike 5 miles or 10 miles or 15 miles or 20. I can't hike across the block. Heck, it's hard for me to get up out of my chair. You know, I mean, forget this. Well, yeah. Hey, maybe, just maybe, it's time now. Use this as an excuse or a reason or a cause that you want to be involved in now to get back into shape so you can be part of the solution. Guys, think about it for a second. Let's use this whole coronavirus. Let's look at it from a positive standpoint, if there is a positive standpoint. If it precipitates change in the American public's eyes and it forces us to become patriots again and to realize what they're doing to us is not okay, then maybe we'll get a benefit from it. But right now, it looks as though, and we saw this in Venezuela, once you start handing people money and letting them sit around the house and do nothing, they get used to that really, really, really fast. We saw that in the USSR until the entire economy collapses because the people that are pulling the cart decide they ain't going to pull the cart anymore. But they couldn't stop this country as far as what they wanted to do. They couldn't stop the economic powerhouse that we were as a country because of mom-and-pop businesses. So what they do? They had to close them down to shut off the economic engine of this country and of the world. Think about what they're doing, guys. Don't let them get away with this. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Well, that's well said. And I mean, realistically, this virus is going to do whatever it wants to do. It's just a fact. It's like trying to control water. The virus is going to burn through. It's going to do what it's going to do, and that's going to be the end of it. And the numbers that they keep showing up here, oh, this, it's going to be this and it's going to be that. Why is it going to be this? Why is it going to be that? Because we want it to be, because we're going to allow it to be. If everybody uses wisdom and does what they need to do, we don't need the government here to protect us. I'm telling you right now, shutting down the entire United States economic engine, as Dad refers it to, isn't going to stop the virus. You know, you don't have a little virus floating around. And he goes, oh, man, well, you know, whole entire United States shut down. They're not building anything anymore. They're not selling anything. I guess I'm just going to go away. I have nothing else to do, so they're not doing anything, so I'm going to go. It doesn't work like that, guys. And the thing about it is we're going to have an even worse of a time the longer we're shut down. Once this virus finally dissipates and does whatever it's going to do, trying to restart the entire United States after a 2-3-4 month hiatus, which I pray it doesn't last that long. We've already heard rumors. You people say, oh, it needs to go, you know, 60 days down. And I've heard some unbelievably hardcore leftist comments. We need to shut down the whole country for 180 days. And I'm like, 180 days? But then you kind of think about it. How do we know this isn't going to be the just first stimulus package of many? How do we know they're not going to start passing stimulus bills every single month and keep
exactly
giving people
right.
$1,000, $1,200, $1,500 checks? And I can tell you right now, a large percentage of the United States, if they get used to this and all of a sudden they pass another bill, because I promise you this is already in the books, it's already in the works. They're discussing once they pass this bill what they're going to do if they have to keep the country shut down longer, which the fact that we're allowing the United States government to shut down a country, you got to see, I'm on the show. Dad's on the show. The company's running a full tilt with Health Masters. We're doing everything we can to keep you guys loaded with immune products. I'm not going to capitulate with this unless they physically come here and shove a rifle in my face while I'm doing a show and I don't have the ability to defend myself and say, hey, you're going to shut down. There's not much that's going to happen that's going to stop us at Health Masters. I'm telling you that right now because legally, there is no constitutional precedent that allows the U.S. government to forcibly shut down a legally operating business. I'm going to be clear with you guys that right now. There is no constitutional precedent that allows the United States government to shut down a legally operating business that has committed no crime. There's none, guys. It's never happened before in United States history. The government does not have the right to come in with gunpoint and say, you're operating, you're completely legal, you're doing nothing wrong, but we're shutting you down because we know it's best for you, we're trying to protect you. Never happened. Can't legally happen. Now, they may try to do it. I don't know if they're going to go that far, but we're going to see what's going to happen. And this, to me, seems like this very well could be the possibly beginning starts of a... they've already tried this in multiple countries. They've already looked at doing it, and they've already think-tanked it numerous times in the U.S. about doing a individual check every month for people. They're talking about, oh, what if we give people $500 a month check just for breathing air? Let's just try it. In almost every country they've tried it, it's abysmally failed. Because what happens is people don't work. You start giving people $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a month, they get used to that money. It pays for their overall bills to essentially sustain and live. Why in the world are you going to go back to work? That's some people's mindset. It's not my mindset, but that's some people's mindset. So be very, very clear and be very, very hesitant about a lot of this going on right now, because it's highly likely that they're going to start producing another stimulus bill in the next month or so. Once this other one gets into place and they give everybody their checks, they're going to say, hey, guys, this virus is still bad. We need to give everybody another stimulus check. And eventually, people are going to start saying, where's my stimulus check? Where's my free money? I'm telling you, that's what happens. And then they may, and this is just me spitballing. This is very well they could do. If this continues to progress and they forcibly keep the U.S. shut down and they produce a vaccine, they very well may come in and say, hey, listen, once you get your vaccine, you're going to get your stimulus check, but you can't get your stimulus check without showing your vaccine papers or showing that you basically have gotten your required vaccination. Remember I told you guys years ago when I got Atlanta health insurance, when I've dropped a long time ago with Humana because they were insanely expensive, as most is health insurance, because most people want to pay money to pretend that the doctor's going to keep them healthy, when in reality, you're the one that keeps you healthy. Now, I'm not barring unforeseen events like horrific car crashes or something where you could have serious injury. That at that point in time, doctors can be crucial, you know, reconstructing bones, skin graft. That's incredible. But as Dad just said earlier, they've coupled the two of emergency surgery and immune disorders and pharmaceutical drugs into one and the same. And they are far from different. And this is what we're starting to see now. When Atlanta had that health insurance, we got this big email. Hey, guys, if you want to set up the best health practices and you want to sign up for this campaign, we're going to give you a huge discount on your health insurance. And, of course, I hear discount on health insurance. I'm like, cool, less money to pay to the stinking health insurance companies that ripped us off with Obamacare and continue to do so. So I start going through the list, and they say, oh, you need to have a physical, make sure you're in good health, basically show that your blood work comes back good, your cholesterol, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. Then, of course, right down in the middle of it, show that you are up to date with all of your vaccines. I went, that's it, done, click, delete, not even going to bother with you guys anymore. Because why? They want to give people a financial incentive to continually stay locked up in the medical industrial complex. Remember, healthy people don't make the hospitals money for the most part. They don't. Healthy people that don't go to the doctor and don't need to go to the hospital and don't need to be on a dozen prescription drugs don't make them their $500 billion a year pharmaceutical bill. It just doesn't happen. They don't do it. I don't go to the doctor. I get blood work about once a year from an independent company. And we get bloods drawn, see where I'm at. Usually everything's perfect, and I'm happy. I'm just good to go. Pay a couple $100. And it's so funny when people, why do you have health insurance? Because, you know, I need to get my annual, and I need to get my physical, and if I have to go to the doctor, so I got to pay my $2,000 a month health insurance for the whole family because, you know, we may have to go to the doctor sometime. Well, they've shown repeatedly that people are much more prone to go to the doctor for very, very minor incidences, and I don't even mean injuries. I mean minor incidences like sniffle, cough, cold, if they have health insurance versus if they don't. And you think, oh, duh, that's obvious, Austin. Well, yeah, but think about what they're actually telling you. If you have health insurance, you're much more prone to go into the medical industrial complex, and in most cases, if they can't figure something out, they will try to find something wrong with you. Dad's talked about story after story after story when he was doing clinicals back when he was licensed down here to do so, with people coming in and saying, hey, we're having this problem, or I don't know what's going on, this, and the doctors find something, and they find an organ to take out, or they find a med to put you on, or they find something to do to you. this is how they make their multi-billion dollar years, and this is what they're trying to do to the country at the same time, bankrupt it and own all the small mom and pop companies so they can push them together into a larger conglomerate like we've seen with numerous companies that I've worked with, guys, numerous companies over the years. Small companies, great companies, clean companies. They come in now, they start getting in bed with Amazon. Amazon bankrupts them. The company gets bought out, name changes, products go to complete and total crap, gets sucked up in some other conglomerate. This is how it works. It's exactly what the bankers are doing right now, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. And I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, we're seeing the closures of all these different companies, and, you know, and then the Fed coming in saying, we'll loan you the money. If you were profitable before the collapse, in order to, for you to be, stay in business, short-term high-interest loans that you have to pay back, and if you can't, they own the business. And I promise you the paperwork will say that. They'll own controlling interest, and they'll be able to send their little bean counters in whenever they want and take over everything. Because, again, it's like I talked about yesterday. It's the consolidation like we have with Amazon of all these family businesses. I mean, Walmart did it first, you know, and we don't know where in the world Sam Wall got all his funding to do what he did. Well, I kind of have an idea. But the reality is that now he came in and put a whole bunch of mom-and-pop businesses out of business, but he didn't put everybody out of business. I remember we had a place called Lynn Green Hardware. It was here in Auburndale. You know, then, you know, Home Depot came in, and then Lowe's came in, and then Walmart came in, and eventually – it just went out of business. It just went out of business because it couldn't compete against the big retailers. And Walmart used to come into cities and actually go to the little shops, the little towns all around and say, by the way, you're not going to be able to compete with us, and we're going to put you out of business. So we're going to give you some classes on how you can basically try to figure out what else you can do with your life or something like that. And the reality was is that a lot of people didn't think they were being told the truth and that Walmart would never do that to them, and they're gone now. It happened over and over and over again. Then Amazon came in and put a butt kicking on Walmart, because Amazon is the giant conglomerate that was, again, funded via the CIA money. We saw that, and they're open about it, and they're able to do whatever they want to do. How can you lose billions of dollars a year and stay in business? Well, you can't. You can't unless you're being underwritten by a larger organization that has extremely deep pockets. Like, I would call that the Rothschild banking cartel or the Federal Reserve Bank. Pump cash into it and basically keep it going until you put all the other little retailers out of business. You know, one of the reasons we don't like to sell stuff on Amazon, we do because people ask us to, is they charge like a 15% premium. Well, shoot, our gross profit margin before a bunch of our expenses and stuff is like about 30%. So when we drop below 30%, so they're asking us to give them 50% of the profits made at Health Masters because we're having the opportunity to sell on Amazon. It's awful. And then it's awful dealing with Amazon. And so that's why we don't like people buying stuff through Amazon. Now, some of you guys do. If you wonder why we have a premium on our products on Amazon, that's why. Because we don't have a choice, because we have to cover the overhead associated with Amazon. And then they want you to send it out within X amount of days and all this other kind of rules they make on you, or they get you mad and you get sanctioned. And it's just on and on and on. Again, it's a giant monopoly, and they control the marketplace. And until that thing gets broken up into little bitty pieces, it ain't going to be any better. But you don't see any more of that monopoly work like you saw 100 years ago with Teddy Roosevelt, 120 years ago. You don't see any of that happening. You don't see the great trust busters happening, breaking up all of this stuff. Because in reality, even when it gets broken up, we saw that with Standard Oil. It's just broken up by more Rothschild-funded companies. Real interesting thing. I want to change topics, but for a second. The World Trade Center 7 was not destroyed by fire is the final conclusion of the University of Alaska Fairbanks report. And I want to share this with you guys. I'm posting all of these stories that I've read today on the website. The destruction of the 47-story World Trade Center Building 7 in New York City, remember I always tell you, the guys who did this or the guys who took down Building 7, was not a result of fires, according to the much-anticipated final report issued today by the researchers of the University of Alaska. This team finds that there was a result of a four-year computer study modeling the tower's collapse, and it contradicted those of the National Institute of Standards and Technology. It was said it fell because of fire. It said, our study found that the fires in W Trade Center 7 could not have caused the observed collapse, said Professor Leroy Husley, the study's principal investigator. The only way it could have fallen in the observed manner is by the near simultaneous failure of every single column. Now, that basically means it was basically blown up. And, you know, and this is crazy to me how these guys have gotten away with this. That's why, you know, people are always calling the Illuminati or whatever. That's one of the reasons I don't really use that term, because it's so old. I use the term the boys who took down Building 7. Well, the University of Alaska now has basically fully exposed them. But, of course, you won't hear this on the mainstream news tonight. But you did hear it on the Ted and Austin Brewer show. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you so much. I'm so blessed to be part of your lives and you're part of my life. I prayed for you guys again this morning. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of praying for you. I tell you that every day for a reason, because I really mean it, and it means a lot to me. We're family. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Stay frosty, and remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Take it up, Austin.
Absolutely. And one last story here. Remember, I told you guys last week or this week, as everything's been blurring together, Israel basically allowed the mass surveillance of individuals who have been infected or possibly exposed to coronavirus on their phones. They monitor their location everywhere. Well, now Israel's High Court of Justice has now lifted the ban from Israel's internal secret agency from using digital mass surveillance to track all Israeli locations. They're saying now that the police will use surveillance technology, usually reserved for counterterrorism operations, to help stop the outbreak. The surveillance technology will be used to alert and order into quarantine any of those found to be within 2 meters of an infected person for 10 minutes or more within the last 2 weeks. So it's not just going to be infected people or suspected people anymore, guys. The entire country of Israel, which is always the epicenter for a lot of stuff, is now tracking every single person by their cell phone's location to see if they become anywhere close to contact with somebody that may possibly have been exposed or infected with coronavirus. You can't even make this stuff up in George Orwell's book anymore, guys. This is how far it's gotten. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. So again, thank you for the support. Thank you for everybody's just, you know, emails. I'm trying to stay up with them, respond to everybody. If you have anything extremely urgent, please give us a call. And if you need to buy any orders or purchase any products right now, the vitamin C actually just landed. We have a big old batch that came in, so we're going to get caught up on the orders for the last couple days. I just saw a FedEx truck pull up. And so I'm going to jump off the phones here, get that taken care of. We're going to have everything up on the website. Thank you again for the support. Keep your immune system strong. Get in shape if you're not already. I don't mean that demeaning. I mean that legitimately. If you need to get in shape, do so. If you got to work outside your home, work outside your home. If you have the ability to walk around outside and get cardio, do cardio. If you have body armor, chest rigs, or plate carriers, practice with them. Get used to being and operating and doing things on a regular basis and get your conditioning back up. That's some of the best advice I can give anybody right now. Thank you for the support. Healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Enjoy the Hagman Report with Dad on it tonight. Have a safe weekend. Stay prepped. And we'll talk to you again Monday, as always, on this show.